there is, I still encounter, and I still read about a resistance to teleworking. Let me sort of give you a picture where that comes from. I'm talking mostly about organizations. I'm not talking so much about people, but people who work on their own. But in organizations, I see this. The senior people like the idea of their employees teleworking. HR people tend to like it because it's a new and rather fashionable sort of program to introduce, gives them something different to do. And broadly, if they're prepared for it, the people who telework like it. So, tick, tick, tick. The resistance tends to come from middle managers. What they often say is, what's reported in surveys is, oh, we can't trust people to work at home. Now, I think that's unfair, and the evidence is that it's not that they have any reason to mistrust people working from home, but in fact, they don't know how to manage people working from home. So they don't know how to manage in a new way, and they might fear that their jobs are no longer relevant because they're not directly supervising people. Now, that's not true, but they think that. What we need to do is to help managers see that the model is management by objectives, management by the results that people produce. It doesn't matter if you do spend, if you choose to spend the afternoon watching Oprah, as long as by the end of the week you've completed that set of work tasks that you've agreed with your management. And so it's medium and large-sized organizations, it's middle managers who need to be convinced. In small organizations, it's often the owner who needs to be convinced. And generally that convincing comes from sort of observing it happen around them, from their peers saying, oh, well, we tried it in our firm and it worked well.
How suitable do you think teleworking is for Australia, looking at the size of the country and the way it's set up, where cities are mainly on the coast?
I'm surprised there isn't more teleworking in Australia. And after, at 5:30 in the morning, being caught on a traffic jam on the Great Western Highway coming into Sydney, I wish there were a great deal more teleworking. I don't think there's any particular demographic reason why Australia doesn't continue to expand with using teleworking in the same way that we do in the UK. There's one little point which actually makes quite a difference for people, which is Australian houses tend to be larger than British houses. That is, they have room for a dedicated area or room itself for the home office. A lot of people in the UK, especially younger people who want to start teleworking, don't actually have that room, and it's all of a bit of a scramble on the corner of the dining room table. When we talk about the sort of thing that interests Chris Capel and the idea of rural teleworking, I think there's a sort of a different model. I think there you have to be looking more at self-employed people who go to live in these areas and have work that they bid for and take out to those. I think they're the solution to that picture.
So more a sense of someone setting themselves up as a consultant.
That's correct, yes.
Dr. Gundry, what about this, the FaceTime or the water cooler moments or the meeting in the tea room? Bernard Salt mentioned those as important parts of a professional's life. Do you agree with him, or do you see that that's an old style of thinking, and that with things like instant messaging and telephone conversations, that, you know, you can get away without those things?
I think that's quite a modern way of thinking. It was in the olden days when we first started this that we thought that people could work entirely alone without meeting face-to-face. Increasingly, the evidence is that face-to-face meetings with work colleagues, when you have work colleagues, are important, and it gets more important the more you need to interact and collaborate with those work colleagues. There have been some good examples of big companies shutting down offices in the UK, sending people to work at home, and then finding that measures of the engagement of the workforce fell through the floor, so they had to put in place social programs, wine evenings and sports programs and social programs for teleworking staff. It's very important. The best medium, the best way of meeting and greeting and keeping up relationships with your colleagues is the face-to-face meeting. You can do it through internet, and people do, and we know that people do through Facebook and dating sites. We know that the medium is good for that, but we're still the Mark One human being. We still have needs to meet with people, to know the people with whom we're working with, and teleworking programs ignore that at their peril.
You're obviously working so close with this field, teaching other people how they can get involved and how they can change their organisations and make the most of this. You've been on this track since 1991. Are you slightly frustrated at the take-up, or are you quite optimistic about the future and the flexibility of this mode of working?
Well, I think it's going to increase. I think when you look at broad patterns of how organisations are moving to work arrangements where people have more autonomous work, more management by objectives, more management by results, more technology-based work, and many people predict the organisation of the future has a far smaller core of its core competencies, the thing it's, that organisation does better than anywhere else, and then people who are sort of subcontracted in to perform specific functions. And sort of halfway house in that arrangement is teleworking, where people might telework from home as an employee for weeks without seeing their manager because work is very well packaged up. And I think that is the solution to and where the growth will come in the areas that interest Karen and Chris in rural take-up. I think the issue in rural take-up and where we'll see the big growth is if people can find ways of packaging up work so that it can be done independently and autonomously, and of course with great value added in the rural areas, so that rather than perhaps we outsource work to foreign countries, I don't know if this is a term you could use, you outback the work. You take the work inland, but discrete packages of doable work that people could do anywhere, and it's done in the middle of your country. I think that the future of this, because it's very current today with this national broadband network, there are obviously some great expectations of the economic benefits, especially to rural areas, where so much of the money will be spent in a national broadband network. Wouldn't it be nice if just a thousandth of that money was spent on a national work network, helping people get work, bid for work, provide work that can be done at a distance in rural areas?